Good afternoon, everyone. I'm glad the previous speakers talked a lot about the statistics and the studies that have been going around the world, because what I'm trying to do is actually give you more of a picture of what's actually happening at more of the community level. And I think this is a struggle that any developing country, any woman in the developing country is facing right now, to kind of mesh what is scientifically based, and we know that there's evidence that it's much better to deliver in a health facility. However, it's not always available, it's not always accessible, it's not always affordable, it's not always appropriate, and it's not always acceptable. In my experience, with the Liberia Project and also my work in Mexico and Honduras and, the places that I've been, is that the cultural and social preferences of the women do not match, what we know could be the ideal quality of care. As an example, in Mexico, the Tarahumara, this was in the state of Nayarit where I'm coming from, the Cora indigenous women would not go to a hospital because they were considered a cold house. If they went to the hospital, they were going to get sick. Okay? The Tarahumara women in Mexico are walking hours to get to the health facility. Mexico, like the Philippines, mandate that all the women are to deliver in the hospital. But they don't consider that, for this woman to go to the hospital, there is a distance that they need to cover most of the time by food, because there's no transportation available, even if they have money to pay for it. Now, how are they going to get there? And then they get there, how do they come back? Who's going to take care of the children? Who's going to take care of the chicken and the farm and all the things that they do in the rural areas? So we are really facing with a dilemma here that governments and those of us who work in the development or public health, we need to consider it and come to a more happy medium where we actually acknowledging what is happening at the community level. That is not always oh, thank you very much. It's true. I mean, Denver is pretty dry. So the NINWIF Child Survival Project is, like Devin mentioned, is a child survival project funded by USAID that Cure America has received back in 2008, and that we are partnering with a local indigenous organization, the United Methodist Hospital in the Nimba County, which is one of the largest county in Liberia. It's a very rural. There is about 500,000 population in that county. And according to the latest statistics that I have, there is a rate of 994,000 maternal deaths per 100,000. This is one of the highest in the world. So I'm just going to give you a picture of where we're working on. And Nenwa is in the Mano language, the local language, and basically it means child struggle. So, as I mentioned, we're working with the Ganta United Methodist Hospital. Currently, we're working in 60 villages. By the end of the project in September 2013, we expect to be in 130 villages. The total target is a combination of 60,000 women of reproductive age and under 5 children. And the services that are provided to the projects is the integrated management of childhood illnesses, HIV education testing, maternal neonatal care, water and sanitation, health promotion, and just in general, community support through care group volunteers and general community health volunteers. And this is all along with the strategy of the government of Liberia. So, to see first, in the village, it's pretty nice. It seems like I would like to live there, actually. But when I see, the treacherous roads, a few months ago, my staff was actually in Liberia, and they got stuck for about more than 24 hours to actually get to where they needed to go. So, it's great if women can deliver the health facility, but when you're facing this kind of obstacles, it's like, does it make sense? So what we're doing is that, actually, as a policy of the Minister of Health and Social Welfare in Liberia, they are training trainers. So in our project in particular, four maternal neonatal care officers were trained in this maternal neonatal care officers are trained traditional birth attendants to become trained traditional midwives, okay? So they utilize actually the curriculum that was developed by the American College of Nurse Midwives. That's the basis that they used to train this traditional birth attendants. Now, one interesting thing is that it's the policy of Cure Americas Global to always work with the community. We've been utilizing a special methodology called the census-based impact-oriented that is very community-driven. It's very, community mobilization is a big part of it. So the TBA is not somebody that the government or ourselves select to be trained. It's the community themselves that choose who is the TBA that is going to be trained as a traditional midwife. The goal through a two-week training based on the American College of Nurse Midwives curriculum, and basically the essence of what they're trained on is the five cleans. Basically, clean delivery area, clean hands, cleans knife, blade, scissor, whatever they use to cut the cord, the umbilical cord, the clean tie the umbilical cord, and also to keep the cord stem clean. So they also learn about neonatal resuscitation, and they learn to identify the danger signs, recognition, and response, in case that there is a complication. So in the last couple of years that we have been implemented this project, 120 traditional or trained traditional midwives have been trained, and they all have received a safe birth kit. Now, the safe kit is something that the maternal neonatal care officer replenish. So they constantly have, a clean, sterile birth kit. So these are some of the traditional trained midwives in our project in Ganta, Liberia. And they use a lot of drama, hands-on type of training, a lot of role-playing. So they actually learn the skills that they need to, okay? So I'm just gonna share some of the results or outcomes that we have so far, just to give you a picture of what the role of this trained traditional midwives had been. They had helped identify 591 pregnancies, okay? 100 of this 591 pregnant women have been helped to develop a birth plan, okay? Out of those, 26 were considered high risk. In, the project year two of the from September 2009 to October 2010, there were 311 births, live births. Three were stillbirths, five abortions, and there were 19 under five deaths, but these deaths were actually accidents. They were not related to illness. And no maternal deaths so far. So some of the outcomes of having the maternal neonatal care officer going into the community and working alongside with the trained traditional midwives, and the trained traditional midwives being supported also by the care crew volunteers and the general community health volunteers that are part of the strategy to Liberian government, had resulted that 357 women have actually received four antenatal care visits. And the answer means that that we interview, mothers of children that are 0 to 23. So in the last pregnancies that you have, how many antenatal visits you received? So 357 said that they have received at least four, which is the standard. Now, how many birds out of the 300, if you remember, there was 311 birds, live birds, so 66 or 21% were actually delivered at a health facility, but a skilled bird attendant. So it's relatively low, okay? Compared to the number of home deliveries attended by trained traditional midwives, it was 245, almost 80% of the deliveries. Now, the trained traditional midwives were able to recognize 33 obstetric emergencies. So they responded, they actually initiated the cascade to respond to take this woman to the hospital. And the response basically consisted that they already previously organized along with the birth plan, a transportation plan. And the transportation plan, basically, the project has vehicles that can go and pick up the mother, but also if that vehicle is not available, they use what they call the bush taxis, which is basically four men carrying a stretcher, running around the road, bringing the woman to the hospital. So 33 of those responses had actually positive outcomes. And the number of women who received postpartum care within 2-3 days was 228, which was pretty high, 73%. So what are the outcomes of this? The traditional, the trained traditional midwives accepted the training very well. They wanted to get trained. They accepted very well. And they were very well accepted and respected by the communities. They work along with the older community health workers already in the community to not only work with maternal child health, but other health issues, providing health promotion and health education. They were promoters of actually the delivery at the health facility. They were promoting to the mothers to go to the health facility. And they were providing the support to get to the hospital they were more just the midwife. They were like the friend that's gonna take care of them, help clean the children, wash the clothes, do whatever other work that the mother is not able to do because of the delivery. We did some focus groups recently that revealed that although women preferred to deliver at home, they would go to the health facility as directed by the traditional trained midwife. If the trained traditional midwife says it's time to go to the hospital, they would go. But the reason why they're not going is, number one, transportation. Number two, money. There was also cultural things that, like in many other countries, in Liberia, the great majority of the rural population is still preferred to be attended by traditional healers. Thank you very much.
We have a question or two for Heidi before we move on to our last speaker. Yes, please.
I was wondering which of the ASNM training materials you might have used, the home-based life-saving skills or the life-saving skills?
Home-based life-saving skills.
I also noticed that you had almost 600 women who had a birth plan, but only 300 delivered. And could you comment on what happened to the other 200?
They haven't delivered yet.
Yes.
I have two questions. First of all, how did you define the at-risk pregnancy, since WHO considers all births at risk for complication? And secondly, you had some impressive, I think, gains in postpartum or postnatal care. And was that by the TBA? What was the content of that care?
Actually, it was by the maternal neonatal care officers. We have 4 nurses that work with the project that actually go to the villages. So most of this care was actually done at the community level rather than at the health facility. One thing that I didn't mention, if some of you attended a presentation yesterday, about health workers in conflict settings, one of the presenters did an analysis of the health facilities, not just the maternal health in Liberia. And one of the things that she pointed out is that even though in the Nimba County, 100% of the population will have access to malaria or HIV treatment, only 25% have access to K-12 care, you know, in a health facility related to maternal child complications. So most of the work that we do is community-based because, you know, there's not enough health facilities anyways to provide all this care.
Thank you.